So, I don't think I'm gonna need a ride home tonight.
Oh my god, that's so great.
Because I think I'm going home with a guy.
No, yeah, I pieced that together.
He plays soccer, and he works at the quarry, and we both have the same second favorite color.
So important.
Your mom's trick totally worked. I ran my finger down the backs of three different guys, and one of them turned around. It's a total numbers game.
Schitt's Creek fans, welcome to another episode of Shits and Giggles. We're a Schitt's Creek podcast where every other week we talk about a different episode of the series, and we're going through everything in chronological order. I'm one of your two hosts. My name is Paul McCambridge, and with me as always is my lovely wife, Carla. Carla, how are you?
I'm good. Do you think people get annoyed that you say the same exact words at the start of every single podcast?
Do you mean that I should introduce it differently or just not introduce it
I don't
at
know.
All?
Does everybody do that? I guess they do.
Yeah, everyone.
They never switch it up to, like, do something fun?
No. I mean, I'm sure it's something fun.
So it's the same boring thing every other week.
It's all of 15, 20 seconds.
Okay.
I think it's fine. No, all of the shows that I listen to do the same thing.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now you're making me second guess whether I should be doing this or not.
No, I just thought it was funny. I was like, how many people have this memorized and say it right along with you?
Oh, really? Oh,
I don't
know.
You're
thinking. Oh,
maybe.
Boy. All right.
I feel like I do. I just go through it in my
head.
Here.
Right. You're here. You're waiting for your cue to start, to jump in.
Right.
So
to share how I'm doing.
Yes.
I wait for that cue.
Just one time you'd be like, terribly. This is awful. I don't want to be here in the closet.
Yeah, we're still in our closet.
We're in our closet
podcasting forever.
We don't have another option.
It's kind of amazing that our closet is big enough for us and all of the various items we have. We're kind of lucky in that respect.
Yeah, I mean,
it could be like a little tiny room. Like a little tiny bedroom.
It's not big enough for us to move around or do anything if the
Well, yeah, I'm not like exercising, you know, on the brakes or anything. Yeah.
I'm just thinking of like MTV Cribs, how sometimes you'd see their closets. And,
oh, yeah, no.
You know,
I think
NBA
everybody
star.
Pretty much is on to the fact that we would not be featured on MTV Cribs, especially because I don't even think it exists anymore. And two, they've heard us. And
okay.
I think they're privy to our
right.
situation.
Okay. I like to think the only reason is because it doesn't exist anymore. If it did, they'd be like, these Schitt's Creek podcasters, we have to get them on an episode of MTV Cribs.
And then they'd be super disappointed.
Right. Us and, I don't know, Carmelo Anthony or something. All right. So, I
threw you off your game now.
I don't know what's happening anymore. But we're here. We're talking about season four, episode four, mm-hmm. Girls' Night. The original air date of this episode was January 30th of 2018. It's directed by Sturla Gunnarsson, who we've heard mm-hmm. once. This
yeah.
is his second of, I believe, six episodes directed
That's
this
right.
season.
That's right. We said about that name being, yeah.
Yes.
I still had, like, her in my head.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, sorry, Sturla.
That's okay.
Well,
I'm
he
not
might
Sturla.
Listen. He might
I don't know
listen.
Why I'm answering for Sturla. No, I understand.
You never know.
I'm almost sure that he's listening right now. So this is also written by Michael Short. You think Martin Short's brother's listening too?
Maybe Martin Short is.
Okay.
They both are together.
Hey, he's in
Maybe
that,
they're in their own closet listening.
He's
somewhere.
In that new I'm gonna call it Selena Gomez show that I'm watching.
Oh
and
yes.
It's about them doing a true crime podcast. About a murder in their building.
And then they do a podcast about it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like trying to solve it in real time.
Remember you talking about that in the beginning of the show, I guess, and you just said there was a murder. So I don't remember you mentioning the podcast
no.
aspect of
it's
it.
It's very good. People should, if you get Hulu, check it out.
Yeah.
I don't think they need me to advertise for them, but
probably
still.
Not. No. They have pretty famous people.
Right.
That are on MTV Cribs, as opposed to us.
So we all know, of course, because you listen all the time.
you have our script memorized.
Right. that Michael Short has been on the show, I believe, since the beginning. And his job is basically to write two episodes every season through the entirety of the show.
So is this the second for season four? This is the first of season four. Okay. Yes. I couldn't remember. I knew we had talked about him previously, but I didn't remember if it was so far this season or not.
Yep. So because we've talked about both of them before, no need to go into their background.
We can
move into the actual episode only, 5 minutes into our recording. That's pretty good as of late.
Oh, should we keep rambling on about random things?
Mm-hmm. Other MTV shows. Singled Out? You want to talk about Singled Out for a while?
Jenny McCarthy?
Right. Carmen Electra did take over later.
Yeah. No, I don't think I watched that.
You didn't have cable.
I didn't.
So you didn't watch it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
All right. Anyway, so...
5 minutes in. Here we go.
We can stretch it out longer if you guys want. Oh, first of all, every Canadian listener,
happy Thanksgiving.
It'll be on Wednesday.
Right? It's on Monday.
Monday. That's what I meant.
At least that's what our calendar says, but I was aware that... dogs are barking. Exciting things happening outside of our closet.
That was a bigger problem in the basement. This is the first closet dog break-in.
I saw that the Canadian celebration of Thanksgiving is coming up soon and saw that it's on Monday. So happy Thanksgiving to our Canadian listeners.
Oh, also, quick question to our Thanksgiving. Oh, my God.
Our Thanksgiving listeners.
Nope. Sorry. Question
near and
to
far.
Our Canadian listeners. Because I was listening to a podcast and this was brought up as, I think, a legitimate question on the podcast, but it might have been a joke. Do you guys celebrate Halloween?
Do Canadian people celebrate Halloween? I don't know the answer to that. I'm not Canadian.
Yeah, since we don't... Just because we're in a closet together does not mean I'm talking
directly. I know, but you're like, do you guys?
No, I'm just... Right. I'm wondering. It seems, for some reason in my mind, I always had it as sort of a universal, nearly global, quote-unquote, holiday. But I could be totally wrong.
I don't really know that it's global. I don't know. I'm not really sure about that.
All right. Well, we do have one more episode before Halloween, so everybody has plenty of time to find out.
And prepare their costumes if need be.
Right, yes. Oh, my God, please. If you guys have ever dressed like people from Schitt's Creek or whatever.
Oh, people do that all the time.
Right.
So we would love to see you post those pictures to our page.
I would love to see those. Oh, yeah, of course.
Yes, definitely.
All right, now let's talk about...
Should we do that this Halloween?
No.
Oh, okay. We're not big dress-up for Halloween kind of people. Our kids dress up, but we typically
And they're to the age where we can't force them to dress up like people from Schitt's Creek. I've seen people do it with, 2-year-olds or something.
Oh, it's
like
adorable
that.
When you see, the kids that are all dressed up.
Yes.
So cute.
Yeah.
That's,
little
super
babies
creative.
With giant eyebrows and glasses. Yeah. Looks amazing.
Yeah. So dress your babies up and share pictures with us.
Right, sure.
We would love to see it.
All right, now let's talk about the episode. Oh, boy, I didn't think we could make it to almost 10 minutes.
Okay.
All right. So we open up in the kids' room.
Yes.
And
Moira's sporting her green hair.
I have to say...
You like the green hair on
her? I love the green hair on her. And I think sometimes I'll see posts where people are like, what's your favorite Moira wig or hairstyle or whatever? I think I really like it a lot. She looks really, really good.
Oh. She carries off green very well.
Yeah, because
I think because it's light.
It's lighter, but it's also a subtle style wig, too. Mm-hmm. You know,
it's not like crazy.
It's
like
not the Ronald McDonald wig she wore to Ronnie's party or something like that.
Right. Yeah. It's very natural looking.
Yeah, I really liked it. I noticed it more in the cafe at the beginning. Mm-hmm. It's, she's wearing it, of course.
Right.
But I noticed in the cafe, I thought it looked really good.
Yeah.
So this might be my favorite one so far. We'll see.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
I like a more natural look on her.
Yeah.
Definitely.
No, I think the
some of the crazy ones are fun, definitely.
It has its time, its place, its purpose.
Yeah, I kind of prefer a more natural hairstyle and then more outrageous outfits. I think I'm more into her fashion than her wigs.
Sure, yes.
But
that can go hand in hand, though. So, so the kids are talking, but Moira comes in and she cannot read the room?
Oh, gosh, no.
Is that the way to say this?
No, she definitely is not reading the room. And David is trying his hardest to help her read the room, and she's still...
I love that he's behind Alexis, just like trying to... Waving his arms, pointing directly to her, like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Because Moira's just going on and on about how she just saw Ted at the cafe.
With an older woman.
Stunning, radiant, something.
He was very taken with an older woman.
Right.
Gives tons of compliments to them. They were canoodling.
Right, yes. I do like
at
how
the cafe, I think is where she said she saw them. So they were in a booth at the cafe canoodling, which is odd to me because Ted is very like prim, proper. I could not see him canoodling out in public.
Oh, no, neither could I.
You know, canoodling in the respect of what I think canoodling is.
Right.
Like, I mean, sitting there, like, holding hands and chatting, sure, I could see that. But I don't think that when I think canoodling, it's a little more intense than that.
Yeah.
Ted doesn't strike me as a canoodler, but maybe Heather is.
No. You're right. Maybe Heather is.
Because, but still, I don't get that vibe from him at all.
No, not at all. No.
Yeah.
So I do like how Moira starts out by saying that he says hi, but then quickly is like, "Oh, I didn't talk to him. Like, he seemed very busy.
Right.
I didn't say a word to him." I love how David tries to
sway the conversation by talking about his new allergy to pitted fruits.
Yes.
Oh, I loved that.
Is this has to just be made up, right? Like, he's just saying
he's trying
things
to do anything he can to sway the conversation away from this because he knows how uncomfortable and sad this is making Alexis.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, it's visible. You can tell. She, as much as she's saying, like, oh, yeah, it's fine. It's not a big deal. You can tell it's certainly bothering her.
Mm-hmm.
And again, like you said, Moira cannot read the room, cannot pick up anybody's clues.
It's crazy.
And cues.
It's crazy how clueless she is.
Yeah.
I mean, overall, sure. But just like I thought this opening was very funny just because of what she does. And Alexis finally has had enough and has to
go for
a run.
She's going for a jog. And David's like in a day dress. And she's like, mm-hmm. Yeah. She just literally leaves in the clothing she has on.
So we're meant to believe that she is now knee deep in this college experience, and she really is like sitting around studying.
I guess,
doing
because she was
school.
Sitting, she had a laptop?
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So now, after all of that, David does, after she leaves, David's really like, what is your problem?
Well, this is his very famous line. Sure. I've never heard so many wrong things said one after another consecutively in a row.
Yeah, and I love how Moira is so shocked by all of this. She's like, what are you even talking about?
Yeah, and he's like, can you, you know, pay attention to your daughter's life, you know? And they also make a time reference here that I thought was interesting because one of them referenced, like, it's been a year.
Oh, yeah.
So I guess since their broken engagement and everything else, it's been
it's
been a year since that.
Yes.
But yeah, so they do make that little bit of time reference.
So it really has been. So the show isn't taking place over single years per season. Because if we think about their broken engagement, it wasn't last season. Mm-hmm. It was the season before that.
Yeah, well, didn't we say they were there for like three
years? Yes.
As opposed
to
six.
Yeah. So, yeah, but I do like the fact that they are starting to give. Every now and then
there's
little
time references.
Times,
so this was sort of a little reference.
But it's great how Moira first says years ago or several years ago.
Right, several years ago they were together
just been a single
and David was like, it's been a year. But yeah, Alexis is like all back in this whole Ted thing. Like this I think is we've seen those little glimpses that her interest is kind
of
peaked
of
again and she's regretting what she did.
Yes.
But I think this was kind of the most obvious discomfort with the fact that he had moved on and was with someone else.
Yeah,
and,
I mean, she's never had to leave a room before.
Yeah.
You know, even after she figured it out, she still danced with that old lady for a while.
Right.
She didn't go running
right
out of the, I don't know, bingo hall or wherever they were doing this.
Yeah.
So now let's go into the office
because
that's where Johnny is. And he notices, Roland has shown up for work earlier than usual, possibly on time for the first time. I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
And Roland is there because
he's just sitting there. He's his feet propped up on the desk. He's being a team player.
But really, he's got some great ideas for the office.
Mm-hmm.
Really wants to get in and just create an area for guests to mix and mingle.
Like a man cave I think,
well,
in their office.
Yeah, I mean, that's sort of what it...
What it becomes.
Becomes, yeah. or I'm sure that's what his intention is at first, but it just seems like...
It's a lot of wasted space.
Dress this place up.
Yeah, yeah. I like how he said mix and mingle. And Johnny's like, I want them to do that in their rooms.
Yeah, it's so bizarre, because I'm like... Because his whole thing is... He comes around with, like, a mini fridge.
Mm-hmm.
He calls it a beer fridge.
Yeah.
And he just wants a place for residents to hang out.
And he said they could sell beer to
you
them.
You can't do that,
yeah.
Right?
Like, I don't know.
They don't have a liquor license at
I guess they wouldn't.
Establishment. Yeah. I don't think you can do that.
Yeah, I got. Yeah, I didn't really think about that.
Yeah,
the logistics behind being able to just sell beers, but I guess that makes sense.
But he has already sold two to himself.
To himself, right.
Which is great.
He's
going to have them with lunch, and then I like
And then he pops one right then and there, and then flies everywhere.
Yes. And then he says, off to work, which I think is just really, really great.
Yep.
It's super fun.
Yeah, and I don't know, like, not that we frequent hotels a whole lot, but... Who hangs out in the lobby of a hotel? I know they always have benches and seating, but usually it's like you're sitting there maybe waiting for someone else to come down so you can leave.
Right,
But I don't know how many hotels I've wanted to mix and mingle with the guests in the lobby ever.
Yeah.
So,
normally when I see it, it's someone who's just, again, waiting for somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're waiting for a spy that has information for you
or
something like that. Now...
Waiting for a spy that has information.
I don't know. I feel like
you're
into
the Selena Gomez show. I feel like people sit there and wait. You know, like other members of your party are staying in a different room. We'll meet in the lobby at this time to go start our day.
No, that's different than like a hotel
spy?
Bar. No. I'm saying.
Yeah.
You know, if you're at the Four Seasons or whatever, there are places to hang out.
Right.
All those times I've been to the Four Seasons, I am
aware,
waiting for spies, et cetera.
Oh, is this what you do when we're not podcasting? You're visiting hotels waiting for spies?
Pretty much continuously.
Oh, good to know.
So, yeah, I just think, you know, again, we really find out what Roland's doing
later on
in the episode. But right now, it really does seem like Roland, I guess... Thought it was such a great idea when they were all hanging out there as everybody carted out a dead body. And maybe Roland's like, hey, this could be
vodka,
a thing.
Vodka, cinnamon buns, beers, sell beer.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, all right. So let's now go to Rose Apothecary.
Yes.
Because David shows up and like Stevie and Patrick are just a couple of giggle pusses here. They're just having...
What? I think that I would say they're like BFFs.
All right, okay.
Let's go with that.
But they're just laughing.
Oh,
like he comes in and they're just
fun because they're
having a great time
making
laughing.
Fun of David, I'm sure. Which
we already talked about this.
This is me again. I do think I don't know. Again, I struggle with this. I think the scenes are funny where they are basically just giving David a really hard time, but it bothers me at the same time. Like, if you know this is going to ramp his anxiety, set him over the edge, why are you playing this game?
And I think it's very different if it's just for, like, 5 minutes and then it's a laugh, funny time, and you give him a hug and you're like, no big deal, blah, blah. This is all day long.
It's like the whole episode.
Excessive.
Yeah, so I don't know. I mean, I know it's a TV show, and obviously they're doing it for the comedic point of view, and I get all that. But, I don't know. I think because David to me is, such this, gentle, delicate kind of soul.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's had so much bad stuff in his past, and people don't appreciate him and don't treat him well. And I know this isn't good fun, and they're joking, and maybe it's wrong, too, that I look at Stevie and I think that is he and Stevie's relationship.
Sure.
But to me, I don't know. I don't love that Patrick does it.
Yeah.
I just don't love that. I feel like there needs to be, a different feel in that relationship because he needs to, I don't know. I just think he needs something different.
It feels like a couple of mean girls, giving their goofy friend a hard time.
And I don't know. I don't know.
No, and I do think it's And I get it. You know, this is what we do. We just pick this show apart, of course.
Right.
And I think it makes for some funny moments in the episode.
Oh, totally.
Course.
It is funny.
But it's just like, I don't want to say why couldn't this have just been a single scene? Because you know what it builds up to. That's fine. But you didn't need the entire episode to get here. I think you could have.
Yeah.
Something else could have happened because, like I said, like they make him leave the store.
Yeah.
He leaves the store, and then what? They're plotting while he's gone? Like,
right.
It's
yeah,
really,
like, oh, let's
really,
do this to yeah. really get under his skin. And I don't know.
Right. It's a little too aggressive,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
So.
But it is, I mean, it, you know, and it's funny. It's.
Right.
It's,
right.
You know, that's his personality.
Sure.
And I get that. But yeah.
No,
I
you
just,
need to
I just
highlight,
have a hard time
yeah,
with it sometimes.
You need to highlight his
I've
personality. And there are certainly, this is a way to do that. But we've seen them do it throughout the entire
series.
Or
let him
so
do
far.
Something to get back at them.
Ooh.
You know?
That's a good one.
Like, why couldn't he, you know, there be something then from his end to, like,
uh-huh.
kind of, like, nudge
no.
at them.
Yeah.
You know, just to kind of like even out the playing field a little bit. Because
no,
I do
I
feel
agree.
Like it's constantly yep. digs at him. And
yeah.
he doesn't really retaliate.
Right.
You know.
Well, the whole thing about this is they're giving him a hard time because he does not compromise.
Right.
Even though he says he compromises.
Right.
They both
yeah.
find that very funny.
Right. And again, maybe this is happening because he needs to learn that. So,
right.
you know, but are there nicer ways to help someone get there? Probably.
There are certainly nicer ways. I think it's funny yeah. that he talks about how he compromised when he and Patrick were
watching
a movie.
Sandra Bullock movie.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Patrick's like, you let me choose from two Sandra Bullock movies. And
right.
he goes.
He called them vehicles.
Right.
Two
yeah.
Sandra Bullock vehicles.
Sandy B vehicles. Sure.
Yeah.
Yes, and he chose the lake house, which was
the correct choice, right.
Which makes me wonder, like, what was the other Sandra Bullock movie? Like, I mean, I know she's
Speed.
In. You think.
Yeah.
You think David was like, I really like
I
both
know.
Speed.
I can't even think of another Sandra Bullock movie
house.
Right now. I didn't even know she was in the lake house, and I don't even know what that's about. While You Were Sleeping, that
oh,
one.
Oh, yes. Okay, you're
there
right.
There we go.
Yep,
I do know two.
That has to be.
Oh, Miss Congeniality. That's a great one.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know the lake house is the correct decision then, if those are the two that
I
you're choosing
know.
From.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't even know what the lake house is about. But anyway, this whole thing, we didn't
yeah.
really even start to talk about what set this all off.
Right.
Was the fact that, like you said, he walked in late, of course, because the apothecary had already been open for almost a half an hour.
Right.
I think it was like 25 minutes.
20
or whatever
minutes.
They'd been open.
Yeah.
And they had moved the lip balms. The lip balms were a featured item right by the cash
mm-hmm.
register, and he had moved them, Patrick had moved them, so that they could highlight the new mints that they had gotten in. And yeah, David was like, although they're very delicious,
right?
I want to be consulted before these things are being moved.
Exactly. Which, I can see it from both points of view.
Mm-hmm.
They are co-owners,
mm-hmm.
so yes, they should consult if they are moving things.
But David is responsible for the aesthetics and the product
Ooh,
and everything
okay.
else in the store.
All right, okay. I
Whereas
was,
Patrick
okay.
is responsible for the business end. But he could say in his defense, like, this is a business move, putting a new item here to be, like, a new bestseller.
Yeah.
So, I do, you know.
Yeah, you're
again.
Right. Yeah, it just, I don't know. They're partners, right?
Right.
They're partners.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
I was just wondering if, you know, Patrick was becoming a little too involved in the business. But they're
oh,
partners.
They're partners.
Yeah.
yeah no.
So, okay.
I don't. Yeah. I don't think that. But yeah. And anyway, he ends up leaving, too. Although there's other moments, you know, there's another moment and everything. But
mm-hmm.
But again, Patrick kind of has like just that little dig. Like David's like, I'm fine with compromise. I can compromise.
Right.
They address the Sandra Bullock movies and everything. And then Patrick says, well, you know, I asked you to pick up those tote bags 2 days ago that you didn't do.
Right.
You know, and then that I think initially like ends up being why he
That's
ends
why he
up
leaves.
Leaving the
yes.
store. But again, there's like that dig, like
I know, but I can understand it from his point of view. If he asked him to pick these things
well,
up
right.
2 days ago
yeah.
and he's continuously coming into work late.
Yeah.
Like, if you show up a half hour late and you have the tote bags.
Yeah.
Hey, That's fantastic.
Right. Yeah.
I do like how he does ask Stevie if she wants to go with him. She says no.
Yeah.
I thought that was so funny.
Yeah, well, and he was basically like, so you two are just going to stay here right. and continue to talk about me, mm-hmm. like, behind my back. Which, of course, we know that's what ends up happening. Because they just do more to, like, you know,
it's almost as if they're not running a thriving business where customers may be coming in. They're reorganizing the store.
Well, you have to do that at some point. But you would think you would do that on an off hour.
Right.
I don't know. I guess they do reorganization, like, during the day.
Who goes into this store asking if they have plungers? That's what I want to know.
I think that's a weird product, and it's not a very, like, but I don't know. It took over the space where the general store is.
But
so, but that's not their...
It's not a general store.
Right.
Or
it's
at least
not a general store,
be.
And that it does not seem to be. Like, if they're selling, like, lotions and facial products and all that kind of stuff. Like, plunger seems very out of, and toilet brushes and stuff is like a really odd item for them to sell.
Yeah. It's like if you went into Bath and Body Works.
Bath and Body Works, like, bought a plunger.
Bought a plunger or like Mr. Clean toilet scrub. Or like, it's so bizarre that, because that's the thing I kept thinking is, I was like, is Patrick trying to turn this back into the general store? Like, you do not put plungers and toilet brushes front and center at this place.
At any store. Unless, like...
Unless it's the general store where nothing is front and center. You
have
your toilet paper here.
Of,
it's right across from the wine.
Yeah.
Like, if
right
that's...
Right,
if that's what Patrick's trying to do, this is a bad business model.
Yeah.
All right. So now let's get away from this because I think we talked through the entirety of that plot point.
Yeah.
Moira, after just being at the
cafe... I
guess
she's at her second time. Yeah, her second visit to the cafe today.
It's probably for
lunch
or something
like
that. Yeah, she was doing a whole lot of town council work or something in the meantime. And she is talking to Twyla.
Yes.
And Twyla lets Moira know that Alexis invited her out to a bar tonight.
Because she felt like she needed to get out and meet people and everything
else. Sorry, Alexis
felt that Twyla needed to.
Right. Yes. Yeah. And I love how Twyla did have plans, but Alexis thought it would be great if she was to cancel them.
Yeah. Yeah. She said, get back out there.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Moira, it doesn't take Moira very long to sort of spill the tea, as the kids say, about Ted. And the exchange where she says, Harriet, Twyla goes, I think it's Heather. And she goes, I think it's Heather. I thought that was really great.
Yeah. Yeah, but Moira is totally gossiping.
Oh, yeah.
Really.
Yeah.
I mean, she starts it all off and, you know.
Even though she does say it's the devil's telephone.
Oh, totally.
So you should just hang up.
And I think it's funny, too, when she says, are Alexis a complete closed book?
Yep.
And then Twyla's like, I think she's a pretty open, you know, and everything. And then Moira's like, a closed book that falls off the shelf. Which, again, is just going to the fact that, like, she doesn't know her kid. You know, it's just another glimpse into Moira not really being in tune with her child.
Exactly.
You know, with her daughter.
Yeah. And I do like, we it's been a while since we've seen any Twyla Alexis interaction.
Yeah.
Because I feel like very early on in the show, we saw that more. She was always there getting
smoothies and talking
really
about Mutt,
terrible
too. Like when Mutt was.
Mutt. Yes, exactly. They had a dinner party together at Ted's.
Right.
So, I did like that about this episode is they get, you know, the two of them back together for
a little
bit.
Of course, Twyla is very in tune to Alexis's whole situation and very, like, you know, intuitive about it. And, of course, Moira is the one that's completely out in left field but scolds Twyla for gossiping.
Oh,
and then, like you said, the line about it's the devil's telephone.
Yeah.
It's best to just hang up.
Yep. It is nice, though, because they are, again, everyone in this town seems to be, you know, I don't want to say everyone seems to be their age because why are they, you know, why would they hang out with anybody else?
Mm-hmm.
But it's just, you know, Twyla and Alexis seem to be roughly the same age.
Mm-hmm.
They're dating the same people in town, stuff like that.
Right.
So there's a lot that they have to sort of talk about. And like I said, I like that.
Mm-hmm.
So now let's go. Oh, sorry.
Oh, no. Go ahead.
Let's go back to the office because Roland's just now hanging out.
Now it's the man cave.
Now it is. Yeah, you bring
not the dude cave that Ted talked about earlier.
No,
the,
right? No, no, no.
The man cave, as in like where men hang out to watch football.
You put you put a mini fridge in an area. I think it could still be seen as a motel office.
Right.
But you bring a TV into that space, then yes, it's now just Roland's weird little man cave.
Yeah.
Where he's hanging out with these two guys. What's the one guy's name?
Carmine and his brother, Brian.
Okay. Yeah. Does Brian seem to be roughly 40 years older than Carmine?
Oh, I don't know.
He had white hair.
Yeah.
And Carmine seemed to be a guy probably in his late 30s.
Okay.
I found that interesting. Hmm. These two, credited, they don't have lines. We're not going to talk about them.
Hmm.
That's where we have to cut it off at some point.
Okay.
But they are hanging out just watching Aaron Brockovich for some reason.
Yeah.
I'm surprised they just didn't bring another Sandra Bullock movie into the episode.
Well, are Carmine and his brother Brian a couple?
What?
Are they supposed to be a couple?
Wait, are you using air quotes that's his brother?
I don't know.
Oh.
I don't know. You're talking about a dramatic age difference. They're watching a Julia Roberts movie with Roland. Like,
wow.
I don't know. Are they supposed to not be, like, brothers?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
I don't think we're supposed to read that much
into
this.
Yeah, I don't know.
No, I mean, they could be brothers and friends. I do like how Johnny.
Yeah.
Johnny says, these guys, you bring these two friends in here. And he's like, well, they are brothers, but they could also be friends too. I don't know what their relationship's like.
Yeah, no. No, it was cute though. They were all just like sitting on the couch having,
eating chips, hanging out. It was very funny.
Yeah.
Johnny wants nothing to do with this. He's like, you have to shut this
down.
He's
supposed to be weeding the back lawn at this moment. So I guess it's still like during the day, you know.
Yeah.
It's like the middle of the day.
Yeah, this
and
is a few
is
hours
later. Is he supposed
later.
To be watching? Is Roland supposed to be watching the desk? Stevie's not there, and Johnny comes in.
Oh, I'm sure.
So I'm sure, like, that's Roland's, you know, shift at the desk.
I like how Stevie's good use of her day off is hanging out at David's store making fun of him. But no, they're hanging out. They're watching Aaron Brockovich, and finally Johnny's like, go out back and weed.
Yeah.
And I do like how Johnny's then kind of into Aaron Brockovich.
Right. Has she broken up with her boyfriend yet?
Yes. This is another thing that I found funny, and maybe you have to do this in your episode, is both Julia Roberts and Albert Finney are credited in the episode as having their voice heard.
That's fun.
Yeah. So now David returns to the store.
Triumphantly, with
tote bags.
This is where he has on his super cool white sunglasses.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They're
really neat.
I love, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he has his own eye, you know, and he has his eyewear line.
Sure.
You can order all
I didn't know that.
His fun. You didn't know that?
No.
Yeah. He has Dan Levy has an eyewear line, and you can get some of the similar
style. I didn't
think
David Rose had an eyewear line.
Well, right, I know. But I'm just saying.
Right. Okay.
And you can get similar styles. But I know those white sunglasses are so...
They're pretty iconic.
Kind of crazy popular, iconic now for him.
Yeah. And this is where we see that the toilet plungers have been moved to the front of the store to highlight them. And if it was such a bad decision, how have they already sold two? How did they sell two today?
Who came in and bought two plungers?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
I don't know. Did they buy anything else?
I don't know. Lip balm?
Are they just selling plungers and having teenagers steal stuff from them?
I don't know.
Yes, but this is where, you know, they sort of talk about this and David plays it off as though it's no big deal.
Right, of course. Meanwhile,
fine.
You know, he's like, you know.
He's being
boiling over inside.
Right, yes. So now let's go and let's get into what this episode is all about, meaning the title.
Girls' Night.
Girls' Night, because Twyla is all gussied up thanks to Alexis.
Yeah, and you know what? She looks great.
Yeah.
Like, she's lovely. You know, she's just looks, and she always looks like fresh and wholesome, and but she really looks, you know, just so pretty and everything with getting ready for Girls' Night.
I have to say, the more, like, behind the scenes photos you see online and the more things of them at events or award shows or something like that, they do a really good job on this show, I think, tell me if I'm wrong, of covering up the fact that Sarah Levy is like 8 feet shorter than everybody else on this show. Anytime I see them like standing in line at an award show,
she's
so
shorter.
Tiny
compared
to everyone else. And I know that, you know, Alexis, Annie Murphy probably wears like really big shoes. Like I've seen at events, she's wearing really
I think
large shoes and stuff like that.
Side,
But yeah, I didn't, I didn't really think of it until recently for some reason. I don't know what I was looking at, but I was like, wow, she's really tiny mm-hmm. compared to the rest of the cast. But mm-hmm. normally in the cafe, everybody's sitting down. She's the only one standing. So you don't really get that sense.
Yeah.
But Moira comes in to help out, kind
to
of
have,
pride,
like, girl talk.
A little bit, yes.
It's a little bit of girl talk before they go.
And she's kind of at first inviting herself along. Where are we going? Mm-hmm. What are we doing? Mm-hmm. And you don't really know that she's inviting herself. That's just things people say when they're talking to somebody. So what are we doing tonight?
Yeah.
Right.
And they're going to take, she talks about, you know, how are you getting there? Because they don't allow you to drink and drive anymore. Right.
It's not like the good old days.
Yeah. And they say they're just going to take like a cab.
Yeah.
And everything. And that is when Moira offers to drive them.
Yep. She's gonna going chauffeur to chauffeur them around.
Yeah. Their chauffeur, chaperone, whatever you want to call it.
And this is when she is very nice to quote unquote Twyla. Says some very nice things.
But like, it's good that it sunk in, you know?
Oh, yeah, yes.
And she really has a very sweet moment about how, you know, she like, mm-hmm. oh, this is such a great thing for Twyla. And of course, she's standing behind Twyla.
Yes.
So she's looking at Alexis and talking. And we, of course, as the viewer, mm-hmm. know that all of her comments are to Alexis.
Of course.
But being kind of disguised as for Twyla. And just about, like, you deserve every happiness and, you know, get back out there and everything. Yeah. And it really is just a lovely little moment. And of course, at the end, Twyla's like, thank you.
She's like, that's so nice, Mrs.
That was so
Rose.
Nice. Right. You know.
It's very nice because then her response is, I meant every word of it, which is absolutely adorable.
Yeah.
Yeah. So now I guess we cut to commercial because we come back and they are in the car.
They're at the Wobbly Elm. They're pulling in.
Is that the name of the place?
That's
okay.
The name.
All right.
The Wobbly Elm. It's in Elmdale. And clearly, I guess when you leave, you're a little wobbly.
Well, Moira certainly is.
Yeah.
I just didn't know the name. They don't say the name in this episode,
do they?
It's
on the building.
It's on. Okay. Mm-hmm. I wasn't watching this with my glasses on. I was sitting really far away. And I looked and I was like, it looks like there's some sort of marquee or something out there.
Yeah.
But I couldn't make out what it said.
Yeah.
But that place does pop up from time to time. Mm-hmm. This is the first appearance, go there a few. I believe.
Was there a time that David and Stevie were out drinking?
I don't know. You're asking me questions.
There certainly are times I could think of, but I'm trying to remember, like, were they there?
Yeah, right. Is there an establishing shot of somewhere where they are? I don't think so.
I don't recall.
I do have to say, Moira's chauffeur cap is super cool. I don't know where
she
got this. She
lost her green hair, though.
Yes, yeah. But yeah. I don't know where she got this weird, like, 50s style greaser, like,
I don't know. Yeah.
Marlon Brando biker hat. Like, it's really cool.
But
and it's
you don't
totally
know
like,
where she got it. Think of her wardrobe.
Oh, no, no.
Like,
I,
it's not unusual that
no,
she would have that.
No, of course,
in her wardrobe.
But it is so specific to be a chauffeur or a part. Maybe it was a part she played in a movie or something like that. But I love it. And she's giving them some advice when they pull up.
Pick up advice. Yeah. Yes. She talks about how she tried to pick up John Cougar Mellencamp, I guess.
Yeah, it worked.
It John did Cougar work. Mellencamp. Yeah, you just run your finger down their back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a little creepy.
Yeah, Alexis says as much.
Yeah.
And I like later how she just refers to him as JCM, too, which is great.
Yep.
And the best part about this is after she gives him the advice, I love how difficult it must be to get out of the back of this car. Mm-hmm. Like, Alexis is really struggling.
Yeah.
Finally gets out and, like, does her little running, like, little trot over to the bar.
Mm-hmm.
It's very cute.
Yeah.
It's really fun.
Yeah, and Moira yells, "You're wrinkled in the back."
Yes.
And she's like, oh, you know.
Right.
And then she's like, confidence, girls, you know. But,
So now let's go back to the office.
Yes.
Because this is just where Roland's hanging out now.
Yeah.
He's playing video games.
And he's playing video games as a relaxing evening.
Mm-hmm. He's trying to wind down after his long day.
Do you know what video game he's playing?
No, I couldn't.
I don't know anything about video games.
I could not get a sense of what I was even looking at.
Yeah.
And then he's talking about, like, a wand. He needs pixie dust to get a wand or something. I don't know what's going on.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't know.
And
what
this
that was.
Is, I guess they did some promotional shoots around this episode.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever see the shot of he and Johnny sitting in front of the TV, both of them with controllers in their hands, and it's just the blue light of the TV on them? It's really neat. I don't know if it was for like, it almost looks like something that would be in Entertainment Weekly or something like that. It's kind of neat.
Oh,
so
fun.
Johnny has an issue with him being here, of course.
Right.
And he's like, you are about to have a kid. Mm-hmm. Like, you should probably be home with your wife, see if she needs anything.
Right.
And so on and so forth. But he hasn't even finished talking when Jocelyn walks in with ribs.
Ribs, yeah. In like a fried chicken box to me. Like a bucket.
Oh, I thought they were a couple
of Tupperware containers. I guess ribs come in containers. Buckets. I don't know.
Oh, you can get a bucket of ribs, I'm sure. If you go to Schitt's Creek, you can get a bucket of ribs somewhere.
Yeah, it looked like a bucket.
Yeah, it's probably like Tony's Rib Shack or something like that.
In Elmdale.
Yep.
Yeah.
And she is totally cool with this.
Oh, yeah. She wants him to extend his work day.
Right, yes.
Yeah. She's explaining all this to Johnny. Right.
She forgot how he is when she's having a kid, and he is very attentive.
Right. Suffocatingly attentive.
Yes. And she just needs time for herself.
Yes.
So if he could extend his work day by a few hours, that would be great.
Yeah.
And Johnny kind of reluctantly agrees. Like, I guess it's no harm that Roland's hanging. It's weird.
Yeah.
Especially if, you know, guests come in.
Well, right. He looks like he's a guest.
He looks like he's a guest. Just hanging out playing video games in the office.
Yeah.
But he's finally okay with it. Mm-hmm. And sort of that's where we kind of wrap this up.
Yeah.
So now let's go back to the bar.
Yep. Back to the Wobbly Elm.
And Alexis is sitting at the bar, and Twyla's off somewhere, but comes up to let her know that she won't need a ride home.
Yeah. She's going home with somebody.
Right. Exactly.
The first of three guys to pay her any attention.
She did the Moira hand finger down the back trick, and one of the three guys turned around.
Yeah, and he's a soccer player.
Yeah.
He works at the quarry, and they both share their second favorite color.
Right, yes.
Yeah.
I really love that. Those are very bizarre details.
Right.
I remember thinking this the first time I saw it when she said a soccer player. And I was like, there's a professional soccer player just hanging out in Elmdale.
Yeah.
But I guess that's just a hobby of his.
I guess.
And she lets Alexis know, hey, there's some hunky dude over there checking you out.
Right. Yeah. So, there's a guy staring at you.
Yeah.
So,
been staring at you for a long time.
Yeah.
And I love this scene because Alexis gets up and walks toward this guy, but passed him right out the door and goes outside.
Yep. So she just gets up and leaves. She looks, sees that, there is a guy over there.
Sure.
And, of course, they make you think she's going to go and talk with him, but...
Yeah, he could be... I mean, this guy kind of looks like Jake. Like, it's I mean, there is a...
Jake or Mutt?
Jake.
I thought he had a little bit of a Mutt vibe to him.
Okay.
Like, dark hair, and he looked like he had a man bun. When he turned his head.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
Well, that was a big thing.
Not that that's Mutt-like, but...
It's a big thing four years ago, I guess.
I guess, yeah. So. Yep.
Yeah, but she does go outside, and she gets on the phone, and she calls Ted.
Ted. And I can't even say it's like a drunk dial, because I don't really... She's certainly not drunk.
No.
Bad
move. I guess I understand it.
Oh, totally.
But it does seem... It seems very strange, because...
Yeah.
What if he did pick up? What was she?
Right.
Was this going to be her big thing? Like,
yeah.
Was she about ready to profess her love for Ted like that night in the parking lot?
Yeah. Maybe. I don't know. But thankfully, he had a trick answering machine message like our, 12-year-old had on her phone.
Oh, man. And that would get me all the time.
It got Alexis.
I could not.
Yeah.
Yes. And that's, you know what? No offense to any listeners out here. If you're 12, that's fine.
Yeah.
If you're Ted, early 30s? No, this is bad. No, no adult should have a jokey answering machine message.
A trick message.
I hated it so much.
Yeah.
Just watching it because I kind of forgot too.
Yeah. And I thought it was super funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just because, like I said, our daughter had a message like that. And
every time I would just start talking. Oh my God. Yes.
Yeah.
So. She gets the voice, finally realizes, I'm surprised this was the first time she ever heard his answering machine, or his answering machine.
Well, he changes it.
Yeah, maybe he does.
You know.
It's different...
we used to do that, in college. We'd be like, what can we do that's fun and creative on our answering machine?
You think Ted's doing that?
Maybe.
Just making, cat meows sometimes?
I don't know.
But she decides not to leave a message, of course.
Right.
And
that's kind of where it
Yes,
where
because
it ends.
Now we have to go back to the store to wrap up the whole plunger issue.
Yes.
because this is where it's stated that they sold two plungers and a toilet brush.
Uh-huh.
So big day at the store, I guess. Yeah. Big day at Rose Apothecary, where you sold toilet plungers.
Yeah.
And David finally breaks.
Yeah. He basically says, I get it. I am bad at compromise. Mm-hmm. He said he's like Beyonce.
He's just like Beyonce.
Yeah. He's like a solo act or whatever. Or is that
something
what he,
like that.
I forget his exact words. I forgot.
I didn't write that down because I thought the funnier part was where he said that David looks like Oprah on a Thanksgiving
Day. No, Patrick. Shoes. Patrick. Yes, he referred to them as mountaineering shoes that his boyfriend wears.
Right, yes.
He looks like Oprah on a Thanksgiving Day hike. Yeah.
Again, happy Thanksgiving. Maybe this worked out perfectly.
Right, here. Yeah.
And this is where it's like, what is Stevie doing? What is happening here? Stevie almost stands up at this point. She does say, my work here is done. Where I'm like, Stevie, was this a long game by you to get him to admit that their boyfriend? That seems insane.
I think it was just well, I've broken David today. Yes. I'm going to head out
Mission
now.
Accomplished. Yeah. I got to get up early and go back to my job at the office.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
And that really is sort of how this whole thing wraps up is he said the word boyfriend.
Right.
And they kind of joke about it a little bit. Mm-hmm. And even Patrick uses it like, well, if my boyfriend thinks I need to take my shoes off, blah, blah, blah.
And they talk about socks and the
socks, that's another no. Socks in public.
That's what it was. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was like, in the store? How did he say that? But yeah.
I should tell my students that. My students like take their shoes off in the classroom sometimes. Yeah. Is that weird?
I probably wouldn't have done that in college, but I don't know.
Like, sometimes, and I'm not saying it's better, like, sometimes I will see that a student had, like, flip-flops on, and they just are sitting under their seat.
Yeah.
But other people, they have lace-up shoes on that they just, like, boop, 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 and
you should start doing it. You would never do that.
Oh.
Far too attached
to
shoes.
No, that's gross. Also, my room is, like, the only room that's carpeted. And the carpet's disgusting.
Oh, ew. Yeah.
It's for
sound. Why is
sound.
A computer? Oh.
It's for sound. Because, you know, I mean, not so much in the computer room, but the carpeting extends into, like, sound booths and stuff that. Anyway.
Yeah.
It's gross. Don't do it. Don't take your shoes off in public, people.
Okay.
All right. So, now let's go back to the bar, because Alexis is still
hanging.
Oh,
but before
we go
there, I guess we can say that, like, David and Patrick have reconciled their compromising differences,
right,
you know.
Yes.
And they do. They always end up reconciling. But sometimes I'm just
of course,
like,
yes, it's,
you know, why do you have to break David to get to that point?
Right.
But
no,
I guess he needs, I don't know. I'm torn between he needs to learn, like I said, but I don't know. Couldn't it be a gentler teach? I guess.
I don't think he's learning anything either.
Yeah.
I don't think because
is he learning, like, sometimes I need to bend a little? Is he
going
to bend next time? I don't know.
I don't think so, because he freaked out and called himself Beyonce. Like, I don't know if he's learned anything from this goofy little thing they were doing.
Right.
But now let's go back to the bar parking lot. Because now it's revealed that Moira was there the whole time.
Yeah, she
but
was
in
at a
speakeasy
in
the
back,
back
of the club.
Wow. So she was able to find, like, the cooler, more underground party that was actually going on at this bar. I don't know if there was gambling there or why it had to be a speakeasy.
Right.
And plus, this place looked very small to begin with. I'm surprised there is a back area.
Yeah.
I mean, that bar, even in the interior, which I always find nice when they do it in movies and TV shows where they show the establishing shot and then the interior kind of matches. Mm-hmm. And I know they should do that.
Yeah.
But I find it really nice when they can kind of match the, you know, space.
Yeah.
So she's certainly a bit tipsy.
Oh, yeah.
And this is, again, as if we didn't already have a nice moment between the two of them. Mm-hmm. We have an even nicer one here where she doesn't have to use, you know, Twyla
as
a stand-in.
Yeah, because Alexis kind of says to her, you know, she was like, oh, are you done? You're calling it a night, basically. Mm-hmm. And Alexis is like, yeah, there's no one in there for me.
Right.
You know, and then Moira explains, you know, I was going after JCM
right,
instead of Johnny is because Johnny was with someone at the time.
And it took her a year.
It took a year, which of course we know that it's been a year since, you know. So they kind of worked that detail in the beginning. And of course, it she waited for a year. It took a year. But he was worth waiting for.
Do you think if it really was several years, the story would have changed to it took several years to get Charlie?
I don't know. Maybe. Right. Yeah.
Yeah, it's very nice. Mm-hmm. Twyla then offers to drive home, of course.
Alexis does.
Sorry.
Not Twyla.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm messing up names here.
Yeah.
Yeah, Alexis offers to drive home.
Well, she was
a good idea.
I don't know that she offered. She was like, so I'm driving?
Right, yes.
Like, a little bit annoyed at the fact that
Moira... I thought it was
no.
more insistent, like, I'm driving.
Oh, I thought it was more in a questioning tone, like, you offered to drive us here, and now I have to drive you home.
Right,
because she said, I'm driving, and then Moira's like, that's a good idea. Right. So, yeah, I thought it was more like an annoyance.
Okay, all right.
I mean,
I didn't
insistence,
read it
I think, as well, because clearly she knew. She,
right, you're not allowed to drive drunk
You're not
anymore.
Allowed to drink and drive, so, yeah.
So, and that's, first of all, that's how the episode ends.
Yeah.
Like, it's really, again, like, mm-hmm. I like it when it ends and they're all together, but sometimes that's not the case. And I think still the only instance of it ending not on the family was at Ronnie's house, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But I know I talked about it before, which makes me think there may have been one other time. Let us know, listeners, if there was. And also, I think I got this right. Is this the third Moira drunk moment of the series and Johnny has won? Right?
Moira drunk at...
the conference?
Oh, I wasn't thinking of the conference. I was thinking of the other one, which now I
Wine
forgot.
Roses?
Literally in three... That one. Literally in 3 seconds,
and this
I forgot
one, I think.
It.
Wow, this is so great.
So, at the end of every episode, we rank our Schitt's Creek episodes from the very best episode we've ever seen to the very least best episode that we've seen. So, Carla, if this episode... were a Sandra Bullock vehicle.
Oh.
Would it be the Lake House or whichever
Speed?
The other one? Right, Speed.
You yes. seemed unimpressed.
Would
when
it
I
be
said
the
Speed?
Lake House or Speed? I will give you your list, your rankings.
Well, I don't know. As much as I love the very sentimental Moira Alexis moments in this. And as much as I complain about the Lake David Patrick thing.
Right.
Like, it's,
it still
I mean,
makes
it still
for
is
an entertaining.
Funny. It makes for entertainment because David is, because I love the David part of it, like how over the top outrageous he is. You know, so I do. I kind of enjoy this episode. And I like, again, the growth that we see, you know, that Alexis is not just going to go hook up with any guy at the bar.
Right.
She was going to walk right by because she knows, like, that's not where her heart is.
Yeah.
And, you know, again, I always like when we see those moments of growth. And just the growth with Moira that she kind of started out as, like, a hot mess, but then kind of came around to a realization of, like, oh, yeah, my daughter's hurting. And
right, exactly.
She needs, you know, she needs me. And, you know, we've seen in the past where that's hard for her to be there when Alexis needs her, like when
of
she
course.
Was sick.
Right.
And you're feeling her forehead with a tissue over it and stuff. So I would like to put this as my new number... 16.
Okay. And, I mean, if people aren't aware and people don't know this...
or
this
don't
care.
This is
the 43rd episode of this series.
Oh.
So, you know, before when we used to say something like 16, that sounded really bad. That's in the upper half of what you're doing. Mine is also making the upper half not quite as high as yours. This is my new number 20. And for all the same reasons you said, honestly, I am just not crazy about anything that's happening with David in this scene. I don't know if it's the David, Patrick, Stevie thing. I'm sure it has a lot to do with it. I don't know if it's that we just hang out in their store the whole time and we're not going anywhere else. I really, really do love... all of the Alexis stuff. I like it anytime they can get Twyla more involved in any episode.
Yeah, Twyla's always fun. I enjoy her as well.
But still, you know, my 20 is still, you know, the top half. So that's where I'm going to put it. Well, everybody, again, thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much if you have rated, reviewed the podcast, given us any sort of feedback.
Only if it's good.
Only if it's good. Yeah. Yes. A big no thank you if you gave us bad feedback. First of all, why are you still listening?
Well, right.
Maybe change that and make it more positive. But no, we certainly appreciate any interaction you have with us. Mm-hmm. And we will be back in 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. Our episode before Halloween, where we'll be discussing...
Wow, it's a little Halloween timeline.
Yeah, yeah. We will season be discussing four. The fifth episode of season four, R.I.P. Moira Rose, which I remember being very funny. Mm-hmm. So I hope it is, but it's been a while since I've seen this stuff. So until then, everybody, have a great 2 weeks.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Oh, yeah.
And warmest regards.